Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We're your hosts, Richard Geiger and Ken Seymour.
Yes, we are moving into our
90s.
High school groove right now, right? High school groove.
That's right.
That's what we're doing.
Some of these are going to be very good memories from the time when we were still avidly watching television as we just tried to get our homework done. And others, I had no idea some of these even existed until I researched.
Yeah. Now here's the thing, you know, I feel like the 90s is really where cable television was really starting to pick up, really starting to take off. And, I didn't really have any access to anything other than a handful of channels from an old analog antenna that pointed towards South Bend and Chicago.
Right.
So, a lot of these things that we're going to be getting into over this next decade, we're still really put out there on like Fox, ABC, things like NBC, things like that.
Yeah.
But we're going to run into some eventually here that we're not.
Yeah. At this point, I was living in the middle of nowhere. So a large antenna and actually a ginormous satellite dish. Back when satellite dishes were the size of, you know, a small car.
they were huge. My neighbor had one of those, so I know exactly what they look like. And honestly, when you for me, a lot of the travel that I would do was through country roads and back roads, and there was an awful lot of them hanging around in backyards.
Definitely so. Now, if you, dear listener, were not aware, we're going to be continuing along our trek of the history of comics in television in 1991. This is going to be coming increasingly interesting, I think, as we get into, especially like into the 2000s. It's just going to be a glut of comic-based television. But still, they're still kind of getting their footings, kind of, sort of. And, of course, we are talking about both comic books and comic strips. And we will make, occasionally minor bending of rules to include things, just, you know, whenever I feel it necessary.
Whenever, yeah, it feels, well, you will bend the rules.
I will bend the rules.
Yes. Okay.
The one that is digging into the history. Okay.
Your whims are fine. Yeah. Totally fine.
All right. Well, as you have listened to us go through several of these years, certain things are fairly common. And one thing that is common is if it is in the 1980s or 1990s, we're bound to have a Garfield special.
Just timeless is what I would call it. Timeless.
Garfield Gets Life in 1991, 22-minute special. This is basically like every other Garfield special. I bet you can guess who might be in this one, Richard.
It's going to be, so today's May the 1st. I was going to say it's going to be May. I didn't do it. The one thing I really got to give these folks credit for, it's been the same people over and over again, same voice actors. Great. Consistency. I love it.
Yep. Always Lorenzo Music being Garfield. It's always Greg Berger being Odie. You get Frank Welker in pretty much every one of these. The great Frank Welker, a gentleman I'd love to speak to at some point.
I'd ask him about residuals.
He's got to have a mountain of them.
Every month, just getting a check for, you know, like
20 bucks maybe
20
on
bucks,
some of them.
Yes.
But when you have 200 shows that you're a part of.
Yeah, I'll take 200 $20 checks. I'll be okay.
So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. Was this a special I watched? Maybe. I don't quite remember. There were about 300,000 Garfield specials that were released over a 20-year period. It is what it is. We're also not going to go into the history. Yes, the creator was from Indiana, blah, blah, blah. Same thing we talked about many, many times.
Yeah, nothing new, nothing to see here.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go from one special that's 22 minutes long to another special that's 23 minutes long.
Ooh.
Now, this one is based off of maybe my favorite comic strip of all time. Out in 1991 was a special called A Wish for Wings That Work. This particular animated special was based on Bloom County. Now, if you're not familiar with Bloom County, it came out in 1980 by Burke Breathed, or Berkeley Breathed, depending upon how you remember things. I always remembered it as Berkeley, just because I thought that was kind of interesting. It was a fairly political cartoon at many instances, but it's also just kind of commentary on human nature. The main character, depending on how you look at it, is sometimes a couple of little kids. Sometimes it's a penguin that does not look like a penguin, and his friend, the cat, that doesn't really talk. It just kind of coughs up hairballs.
And I feel like this had some, this strip had some legs too.
Oh yeah.
It's continued for quite some time.
And they changed the name. It went from Bloom County to Outland, and then just to Opus, if memory serves. And it was always good. It was one of my favorites. I had sketchbooks filled with sketches of Opus and Bill the Cat and all the characters from Bloom County, because the style was so silly, and they made fun of everybody. You know, it didn't matter who you were, politically speaking. And, you know, when I was reading this and I was in elementary and middle school, you know, I was very politically active.
Oh, yeah. You're getting your, you know, everything keyed in. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But truthfully, it was one of my favorites because I didn't know a lot about what they were talking about sometimes, but it was always really good. Now, here's the fun part. The voice cast for this special was no joke. No joke. They
top
got
notch.
Top notch. They got Frank Welker, of course, because you're going to have Frank Welker.
What? Yeah.
But Robin Williams made an appearance in this.
As the Kiwi.
Yep. Dustin Hoffman made an appearance. It's just, come on. Who gets Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams for a 22-minute special?
Maybe they were fans, first off, but they probably had a shared team member in some form or fashion that said, hey, come in and do this. It's free money.
I don't know. Whatever the reason, I remember watching this special because, you know, there's no way I was not going to watch the special. It was my favorite comic strip. So when I saw that they were actually going to be animating something, it was done. Just done and done. They got John Byner to do some of the voice. Now, if you don't know who that is, I mean, he's just been in, you know, a ton of stuff all the way back into the 70s. Just a lot of voices. I mean, it's another real just legendary voice guy, but he's always funny. For the lead in this one, which is Opus, they got Michael Bell. So
you may not recognize that, but you should, because he did some pretty prominent characters in some of our favorite cartoons.
He was Duke, man. Duke.
Mm-hmm. Prowl.
Yeah. So, yeah, just too much awesomeness in this. I remember watching it, and I just, it just gives me happy memories every time I think about it. All right.
It brings up a side question. So we saw that this was your favorite comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another one?
Another favorite comic strip?
Yeah.
I have a lot of ones that I really enjoyed. I mean, let's see here. I would say that other than this, I was a particular. I like Blondie, okay, but that really wasn't much. What was the name of it? It was. I'm having a mental moment. This is the bad thing. Again, if you are unfamiliar with our show, we like to record when it's late, and we're tired.
I caught you off guard. This is what I do.
Yes, you did. And I do have an answer for it, and I do have ones that I was trying to think about it. But the teddy bear that the tiger that
Calvin and Hobbes.
Calvin and Hobbes. Thank you. I was just having a, like I said, I was having a mental moment. That was another one I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I for sure right now have a couple Calvin and Hobbes books in the house. So
yeah,
very good stuff.
Those are the two
that, one of my favorites,
that I liked. So, you know, Doonesbury, believe it or not, again, the in elementary and middle school reading Doonesbury, for some reason I thought that was interesting. Yeah, good stuff. All right, so one other kind of, I don't want to say anomaly, but something that was maybe not quite so long. Now, if you look at it in IMDb, it lists it as a TV movie, but it's a pilot. It's a pilot. Out in 1991, Power Pack. Are you familiar with Power Pack, Richard? This was actually based on a comic book.
I am not. Please tell me more.
Well, Power Pack was basically a superhero group made up of small kids. All like elementary, middle schooler type age. It came out in 1984, created by Louise Simonson and June Brigman. They had an initial run that lasted like a really long time, 62 issues, which is pretty impressive. I have, probably about a third of that run that I've managed to accumulate over the the last number of years, just because it's so, I don't know if innocent is the right word. It's just got a really, really nice, nice feel to it, nice tone. It's refreshing. Maybe that's
change
the
change of pace.
Yeah,
there you go.
And it's just really nice. All the other comics, are doing their thing, and they're trying to attract a very specific demographic. So they have to be a certain amount of edgy, or a certain amount of angsty, a certain amount of action. And Power Pack was not that. It was literally aimed at kids. So it was very toned down, very simplified messages. The bad guys were a little more, I don't want to say generic, but it was meant to be more palatable to the younger reader, which was really nice. And they had crossovers. They would cross over with the Fantastic Four. They'd cross over with Cloak and Dagger. They'd cross over with She-Hulk, and a lot of these, really fun little ways. That comic was just so much fun. If you haven't had a chance to really read through it, it's pretty awesome. It's just, like I said, just a really fun little thing. So the main characters are, you got Alex Power, who is Zero G. He plays with gravity. You got Julie Power, whose name is Lightspeed, and she has some speed powers, unsurprisingly. You got Jack Power, who's Mass Master. Bet you can't guess what he does.
he travels to Massachusetts.
Exactly. And Katie Power, the Energizer.
Nice.
Who has energy powers. Now, Franklin Richards, who we've talked about before, is an honorary member. But, because it makes sense. He's young. They're young. That sort of a thing. But they always had a friend named Kofi Whitemane, who was basically a horse person.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a kid stuff. It's a lot of fun. So they did this attempt to get it. You would think that would be kind of ideal for TV. But, looking at the names they got attached to the people, I don't recognize any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I was noticing that too. And you can't always go by the ratings, but the ratings appear to be universally pretty bad. So,
well,
that's unfortunate.
It would be a hard adaptation to do. I feel like if it wasn't approached with genuine sincerity, then it'd come off in the exact wrong way. And I bet that's kind of what happened. You know, obviously, not having watched it, I don't know for sure, but, you know, good enough.
Did you mention when you were discussing it initially, is this a Marvel
It is.
Project?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, if we were going to make a video of this, I would have grabbed a couple of my back issues to show as visual representations, but we're just going to keep this one audio, I think.
You can always take a picture. We can upload it to something.
Yeah, we do like I've thought about doing a series maybe between Instagram, all of our social media, doing a top 20 comics I've collected the most of sort of a thing. And just doing some visuals. I thought that would be kind of fun to see what I have the vast majority, or not vast majority, but what I've collected more than anything else. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get in some actual television programs. What shall we? Does that sound good to you, Richard?
I like it. I like it.
Now, of course, before we go any farther, don't forget to hit that like. And wait, no, this isn't YouTube.
but you can do that on certain podcast channels.
That's true. You can do that. But you can also visit us on Twitter or X, whichever way you want to call it. We don't care. We will not make fun of you. We'll just suffer with you on that particular media.
Call it a candy bar. It's called Twix.
Exactly. And, of course, you can get us on Instagram and Facebook, handful of other things here and there. Maybe we'll even start a TikTok while we still can.
Yeah.
All right. Back
Show
to
us me. Your dance moves.
Right, right, right. All right. So one of the ones that came out this year, 1991, lasted an entire season. We've got Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars. Now, I asked you before we started recording if you recognized any of these, and you did not seem to recognize this one.
That is correct. I was looking at an image, and like, this would be one that I would recognize. Like, it's very recognizable.
Yeah, the visual.
And I don't recognize it.
Visual is hard to miss. Now, this was based off of a comic strip that came out in 1984, created by Larry Hama and Michael Golden. And it's, you know, Bucky O'Hare is kind of like, it's kind of like one of those takes on, I'm having one of those things, Buck Rogers. There we go. But it's a rabbit.
And a crocodile, maybe?
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't remember a crocodile. I have to admit, I never read this particular comic strip. Did not know it existed. But yeah. So I'm not going to really tell you anything about it because there's not really much that I can tell other than it's science fiction based. And they got some interesting individuals to do some of the voice work for this particular production.
And you had mentioned it before. This made it to one season, consisting of just 13 or so episodes. So
yeah,
not a whole lot of material, or episodes for this. But hey, you could probably go through it pretty quickly if you want to look it up.
Yeah, I expect it. It'd probably be fun. I mean, it seems like it's just, you know, kind of corny and a really fun accessible sort of way. You got Scott McNeil did a character voice for this. Did Dead Eye Duck, and you may know him as the English dub for Piccolo on Dragon Ball Z, or you know, Waspinator on Beast Wars, Transformers Beast Wars. So I mean, kind of neat. Some neat stuff here and there. He's done a decent amount of voice work. Yeah. It's just a lot of the names that I'm seeing, it's like if you know like some voice actors, like, yeah, I'd recognize those people. But for the most part, I don't think you'd recognize most of them. However, the lead, Gary Chalk, if you saw his pictures and watched anything in the 1980s to 90s, you might recognize him.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. He has a really fun bit in Freddy versus Jason. He gets to play the sheriff in that particular film.
Yes. Freddy versus Jason. What a classic horror mashup.
I loved that one. I mean, the original Friday the 13th films, I thought so many of them were just kind of lame. It's like, you know, I wanted to like them because it's like, oh, slasher flick, but it was all very generic. They occasionally did some pretty cool stuff, but it was usually way out there when they did that. And then Friday 13th was fun, but it was always, it got super cheesy by about the third or fourth one in. So it's like, oh, it makes sense to have these two fight. The other kind of the peanut butter and jelly of slashers.
Mm-hmm.
And they go well together. And it was a fun little film. I know that's not what we're here to talk about.
That's okay. Tangents are okay from time to time.
Yeah, you got to have them sometimes. But yeah. So if you don't know who Gary is, that's who he is. Gary Chalk. So that being said, I think it's time to move on from the anthropomorphic rabbits in space and instead move on to, let's go with, yeah, I know what we'll do. We'll move on to Roger Melly, the man on the telly. This lasted for a season.
Man on the telly. Okay.
Now, this was originally based off of a British comic called Viz. Started in the late 70s. Ran for 322 issues. It's kind of like Mad Magazine.
Makes sense.
So, I mean, a lot of disparate stories and things like that. And if you look at the art style, it's very clear that they were kind of trying for that, at least by the end they were, if not at the beginning. In the beginning, it looked like a weird Inquirer. But this is originally published by Dennis Forlag, like I said, in England. So they kind of had a free license to do whatever they really wanted to do with this. And so if you look at the description, Roger Melly is a character from the English comic, English adult comic Viz, foul-mouthed, drinking, smoking television presenter who has frank opinions and wild ideas for TV shows. I can't imagine why this didn't last more than a season.
Or, you know, 10 seasons. I mean, come on. Did you ever watch any British humor shows that were maybe on syndication?
Oh yeah,
up?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think there was an audience for this. It just never made it to that audience. Would be my guess.
Well, I will say this, and I know this is going to be a link that you're particularly happy about, that you're particularly fond of. But the lead in this, the person that played Melly, his name is Peter Cook. Are you familiar with Peter Cook?
No, I am not.
He's a huge name in a lot of British humor, but just has been in a ton of stuff in general. He's actually been in a comic book film, Supergirl. So, I mean, he's actually been on stuff that's on our list. But the link that I want to make for you is he's in one of the best films of all time. I know it's one of your favorites. He got to play a member of the clergy where he goes, he's the one that marries the one of the main characters and the person that she doesn't love. And he goes, marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.
I do actually know that scene that you're referring to, and it's what do they say? Mid, is that what the kids say nowadays? That movie is very, very mid.
Oh, that's harsh. That is not mid. It is one of the greatest films of all time. Oh, fantastic sword fighting, narration. Just so good. So good. So good.
I mean, but it did have Andre the Giant, so there's that.
Yeah, and Cary Elwes, somebody there. Anyway, again, diverting off of it, but considering they only kind of list two people in this, and it's Peter Cook as one of them and Harry Enfield as the other. And Harry Enfield has been in a bunch of stuff, but I just don't know him well. All right. So,
okay, yes.
Moving on. All right, so we're going to go for the last one season show that came out in 1991. This is one we both watched, and it's weird, but so much fun. Mother Goose and Grimm. Did you watch this one? I'm pretty sure you did.
I can say that I've seen some of this show, and I think it had a little bit of legs, meaning the popularity wasn't maybe initially when it came out, but kind of continued or built a little bit later on in the 90s from when it's initially released.
Yeah, it's a weird one, but it was so much fun. It's based off of a comic strip of the same name, Mother Goose and Grimm, came out in 1984 by Mike Peters. I did read this comic strip and always found it mildly amusing. And it's just, I don't even have a good way to describe it, because it was like that Nickelodeon weird out there kind of, animated film, right?
Yeah. And with this one, I feel like if you are our age and you did watch, cartoons, whether it was Saturday morning or not, and you hear the name of this, you might think, for some reason I've heard of that. But when you see an image of the characters, I just feel like you would have seen these characters in some type of publication before. It's just immensely recognizable to me.
Yeah. And if you've never seen it, it's basically this old lady and her dog, and she's kind of out there, and we're not 100% sure that this isn't just one big hallucination. But the dog is just kind of, always, you know, harassing the cat and, you know, that sort of thing. It's easy, easy, funny stuff to do. But, this is one of those ones, if you haven't seen it, it's a lot of fun. It really is well done. Got Mitzi McCall as Mother Goose. If you're not familiar with who that is, that's another person that's just had, you know, an amazing career over the years.
Yeah, lots of appearances and voice acting too.
Oh yeah. So I mean, just it's one of those things that I try and describe it, but it's one of those, it's like, oh yeah, I know who that is. It's she did the voice for Penny in the Pebbles and Bam Bam show back in the 70s. Did the Fonz and the Happy Days gang.
Keep yourself occupied is what you said.
She was on the Snorks for 23 episodes, and Pawpaws for 21 episodes. And they liked her a lot. They kept her around for a while. Yeah, that was a crazy show. But what about the shows that had a little more legs, that could last more than one season? Did we have any in 1991? Yes, we did. What they're based on, I would never have expected either of them to last more than a season. But, yeah, you never know what's going to catch on or be, you know, popular, I guess.
Find its target audience, you know?
Yeah, sure. Sure, that's what happened. Couldn't find anything better on TV. Let's watch this knight guy ride around on his horse and try and save the kingdom, which actually Now I say it like that, I kind of want to watch it now. We had The Legend of Prince Valiant.
Now, was this one based off of a strip?
Yes, absolutely. It came out in 1937. Hal Foster. Yeah. Yeah. This one's been around for a while. Now, I will say this. This is one of those comic strips that I desperately wanted to like and never did. Partially because a lot of times you would see it. It was one of those like three panel comics. It didn't get the full treatment. Mm-hmm. And when it did, it just, there was something wrong. The art in it was always gorgeous. It always looked way better than anything else it was next to. But the story, at least for me at the time, it was intended to be a long form story, and I didn't get to read the comic strips regularly enough to pick up any of the stuff. So it was always segmented and none of it made any sense. And it's just like, well, I guess I'm not going to read this one.
Yeah. So do you think that was a daily comic or like a Sunday paper comic?
Oh yeah, it was daily and they had the Sunday also.
So yeah, if you only got to read it once or twice a week, if that, I mean, you would miss out on a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, if you like a medieval kind of knights doing heroic things in heroic ways, that's exactly what this was. And they got Bobby Benson to do the voice for the eponymous, is that right? Prince Valiant?
For the prince. There you go.
Right. So if you don't know that name, I want you to think Disney in the 90s. He was the voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. I mean, so this is a guy that's had some regular work. Now, of course, to be fair, a lot of his regular work is doing the voice of the Beast for other shows and video games and whatever. But I mean, if you get it right, you get it right.
Yeah, it's gonna be the gravy train, the Beast gravy train for him.
Now, there is another of my favorites. There's actually a couple of my favorites that did voices in this show. You got James Avery.
Yes, I saw that.
Sir Bryant. This dude was one of the guys that, if he's anything like he was like that, it's like that's like surrogate dad for our age group.
Yeah. And I feel like he's done so many things that maybe our age group would know him, obviously, from The Fresh Prince. It's just that he was so good in that show. It's hard to picture him as, you know, somebody other than Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
But he's done so many things.
He's done so much. And you got Dorian Harewood that was also doing voices for this. If you don't know that, watch Full Metal Jacket. There's a scene that will stick in your mind forever. And if you see him in a kid's cartoon, the two just won't mesh together. But, the incomparable Tim Curry, man, Sir Gawain.
But that's not it. There were many more.
No, there are just tons and tons of people that did voices for this, between Ron Perlman and Neil Ross and John Rhys Davies, and just this crazy.
Even Miss Diane Pershing.
That is true. Somebody we've talked to on the show, Will Wheaton, who I've met and is a fantastic gentleman, and hopefully maybe one day we'll get on the show. This is one. I never got to watch this, but now that I see who they got to do voice work for it, maybe that's the reason it stuck around. I don't know if the plot was any good, but you could not beat the voices for it.
Yeah, they really brought the star power in, and maybe it was just a product of it being a very good show, or once again, a lot of these people had friends or connections in the industry and just had him come on for an episode, spread the visibility a bit of it.
Yeah, whatever the reason is, this is one that I will probably revisit and take a look at some point. Yeah. Okay. We got one left. One final show that came out in 1991 got 5 seasons. That means that it must be based on something amazing, right?
Yeah.
So the show that I'm talking about that was out in 1991 was called Rupert. Just simply Rupert. And it was a little animated, anthropomorphic bear. We were kind of joking. This is a kind of a simplified artistic style, but we were joking a minute ago. It's like, yeah, the previous one was based on a comic that came out in 1937. Yeah, that's an old comic. Try late 1800s on this one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
100 years later, yeah. You got a TV show. Pretty good.
By the 1910s, a bunch of English newspapers were publishing Rupert the Bear comics, but it predates that. And it's just kind of crazy that a television show was made that far out from its original source material. Now, I know a lot of people, I didn't recognize this at first because I never watched it, but now that I'm seeing some of the animation, I remember some people talking about this one.
Yep.
It was really popular.
Do you think Rupert Grint got his name from this show?
Sure, that's got to be what it is. Now, let's see. Julie Lemieux, I should say, if my mouth will cooperate, was the voice for Rupert. Did tons and tons and tons of projects over the years. Again, just lots of voice acting, as it makes sense. But did you see anybody in the list of entries here that might have seemed interesting to you, Richard?
As I was looking through the pictures of the cast, the one thing that caught my mind was not the cast member, but the picture that he took for his IMDb profile has James Gandolfini in his picture, which was weird, but there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people that are in here. I think the only one that stood out because she just looks so familiar was Sheila McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been in a bunch of stuff. Stuart Stone was in a number of things that I recognized. If you were a fan of the film Donnie Darko, he was Ronald in Donnie Darko. But that one immediately struck us like, oh, I know. Where do I know that guy from? Oh, yeah, Donnie Darko. That was the thing that clicked for me. There was one other one. Who was it?
Is it wrong that I've never seen Donnie Darko?
No, it's not wrong. It's difficult. It's kind of a classic at this point. well, maybe classic's the wrong word. Cult classic. There we go.
Cult classic. Okay.
That's kind of where I was going with that. Was it Colin Fox? Is that the one that drew my? Yes, from Tommy Boy. Right. That was the other thing. Just certain faces that you see, even if they're not, primary in a lot of these other things. Like, oh, I remember that face from that film. It's kind of a amusing thing. So not what I would call I'm not going to say it was an unknowns casting, but castings that we were maybe not so familiar with, but they're actually all pretty well vetted, put it that way.
Yeah, and of all the things that we have talked about, and we've already mentioned it a couple times, like this one had the longest run, 60 plus episodes, which is crazy. Obviously this was run here in the U.S. Do you think it was run in overseas too?
Guarantee it was. There's no way that it wasn't. I would be surprised if it wasn't started overseas first. Let us see if we can find out very briefly where it started out. Oh, because so many people involved with this. Why am I not surprised? A million animators. Let's see here.
I saw a Tara Strong appearance.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it looks like this had, it was all sorts of production companies. This was a cooperative effort, apparently, between Canada, France, the United Kingdom, South Korea, and Vietnam.
Okay.
Yeah, but released in December of 1991 in the United States. But it is definitely, it was on ABC for Kids in Australia, on Abbey Home Entertainment in the same year in the UK, on Band in Brazil in 94.
Interesting.
Played in Israel on Channel 2 in 97. So, yeah, it's been all over the place.
Well, if they had it in Canada, and you said France and, what did you say, Vietnam?
Yep.
So those are all French speaking. So I guess that makes sense.
Mallow Film is more of a home video apparently in Canada, but in France it was on FR2, one of their main channels. So you know, just kind of cool, really. In Vietnam, I don't know the Vietnamese system, and it doesn't list anything for them, so it must have just been where they contracted out to. That's it.
So
that's 1991, man.
There was everything, and at the same time, there was nothing.
I tell you what, here in a couple of years, we're gonna start hitting some more of the crazy good stuff. But this was an interesting year. There was some stuff that we recognize and some stuff that I kind of wish that I had a chance to see that I didn't get to see. But what do you think, viewers? Did we miss anything from 1991? Again, based on a comic strip or comic book, let us know. And we will even shout you out if we verify that you are indeed correct, that we missed something that was released in that year. You will become famous or in our little group of people.
Very famous.
All right. Until next week, stay safe, watch TV, eat some food.